This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with retired jockey Robert Landry here at Saratoga. What's it like being at Saratoga?
No place like it. I mean, you know, we weren't able to come here last year because of the pandemic, but happy to be here. And, you know, it would have been nice to have a winner here last week, but, you know, here in Saratoga, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, you retired and became racing manager for Chiefswood, who you rode races for before. Take us through the difference between riding races and managing horses.
Well, it's a lot more work managing horses, that's for sure. You know, not only, you know, we have them spread out amongst a whole lot of trainers. So, you know, Todd Pletcher, Shug McGahey, Jimmy Jerkins, Mark Cassie, and Graham Motion. So, you know, you're running around. You're, you know, obviously, as you know, in the horse business, there's always issues here and there. Usually when something goes wrong, they're getting in touch with you. So, like, it's 24/7, you know, when you have as many horses as we have. But, you know, it's nice to be part of it. But you sit here and you watch these horses train, and a lot of the time you'd like to be out there, because I do think you have an edge sitting on their back to evaluate their ability.
Yeah, no doubt. Same thing for me. When I'm watching, it's like, man, if I was on that horse, I might be able to tell what's wrong with that horse, or what's good with that horse, or what the horse should be doing.
Exactly. I mean, it's really a disadvantage when you're sitting on the ground, for sure. But I think I'm starting to adjust and have a better idea.
You've been retired for how long? 10 years?
11 years.
11 years.
And on the 20th of August is 11 years. So it's been a while, but you know, I miss the big days, obviously, riding, but. You know, this is a new venture, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's got to fuel your competitive spirit, too. I mean, it's good to have that after being so competitive for so long.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to be around a lot of well-bred horses and a lot of great horsemen. And, you know, this game you always learn, and it's just nice to be able to chat with the trainers that train for us and, you know, learn even more.
Take us back to the beginning. How did you become a jockey?
Size more than anything. I was a real small guy and very light, and I always liked animals. And my dad used to go to the races. He was a $2 better, but he just really enjoyed the horses. And I used to go to the races with him all the time. And he had a buddy that owned a couple horses, and his buddy kept pushing me, "You should be a jockey. You should be a jockey." And I used to always ride on the weekends and stuff, just, you know, pleasure horses and stuff. And I ended up at the track at 13 years old, working on the weekend and through the summers. And before you know it, I was getting on horses at the track, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it becomes kind of natural in a strange kind of way, I guess.
It does. And, you know, I don't regret it for one minute. Obviously, I had a few bumps and bruises along the way. But, you know, it's been a great life, and met a lot of really interesting people. And, you know, I'm still meeting a lot of interesting people. So it's just been a very good life for me.
Yeah, take us back to your career. Who was the best horse you ever rode?
Oh, I rode a lot of really talented horses. I would have to say, obviously, Negan winning the plate was a big thrill for me, for Chiefswood Stables. And I won the Alabama with Careless Jewel, who was a really nice filly. I think the best horse I ever rode was a filly that only ran a few times for Sampson Farms. Her name was Hello Seattle. She won her first start, you know, by about 15, and her second start was a stake, and she won. And then she was a horse that was going to head to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And, you know, she was out working older, great at stake winners. Her third race, she turned down the backside, switched leads, and fractured her leg. We were able to, you know, I got her pulled up pretty quick, and they were able to save her, you know, and she eventually ended up dying of colic, unfortunately. But I think she was probably the best horse I ever rode. She was a deputy minister filly. Yeah.
How about Careless Jewel? When you come to Saratoga to ride the Alabama, everything's perfect, and then she dumps you in the before the race.
Yeah, she got me twice, actually. She got me just stepping onto the racetrack, and then I was warming up, and she kind of propped and got me off. I was off on the other side, hanging on to her. She got away from the pony. And I knew she could run, so I'm running alongside her, making sure she didn't get get loose. But obviously, she was a very, very talented filly. I mean, she ended up getting squeezed into the first turn as well. She overcame a lot, but I'll tell you. And, you know, to be able to win a race at Saratoga is great, but to be able to win a grade one at Saratoga is awesome. And, I mean, that's all I ever wanted to do is win a race at this track. And the last one I rode was the one, so obviously a very, very special memory.
Yeah, take us back. I mean, when you come to Saratoga, you have a moment where, like, wow, I'm in Saratoga, or what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot about it as a kid, and you know, obviously Saratoga has a ton of history. And, you know, just to come here, I mean, as soon as you, you know, we drive through Amsterdam, you know you're getting close, and, you know, it's just a special place to be. It's hard to explain, but, you know, it's just such a great vibe here.
Yeah, no doubt. You spent most of your career at Woodbine and in Canada, and didn't make that many trips. But yeah, to come here and win a race like the Alabama.
No, for sure. Horses at Saratoga in total, most of them were stake races, and a lot of them ran well. But like I say, I was lucky enough to win a grade one at Saratoga, and that's a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah, and she wasn't easy to ride, obviously. I mean, she dumps you twice in the post. Bray, what did you do to try to, I mean, help her? I mean, what was, you had to, I think you kind of soft hands, kind of just try to get her to settle. I think that was probably one of your best traits, maybe?
I think so. I mean, you know, I got along with those wiry type fillies. I think, you know, the best thing I could do is stay on her, because she had a tremendous amount of talent. And I mean, obviously, unless you're mounted, you know, a jockey's job is very difficult, you know, but I was really good at pointing them when they were good enough.
Yeah, that's it. People said, what was your best ride? And like, when I rode the best horse.
Yeah, right? Exactly. 100%.
Take us through retiring. How tough was that, and the process of kind of getting over it?
It wasn't that difficult, because I did retire on my own terms. You know, I had had, you know, quite a few spills. I had broken my back a couple times, and, you know, I had a lot of head trauma. And about two and a half months before I retired, I had had another fall, and I didn't break any bones, but, you know, I had hit my head pretty good, and I ended up taking a month. Then I came back and rode for a bit, and I could just tell that it was time. And I always wanted to retire when I was still having some success. My last winner was a stake winner, you know, and things were still going well, and I figured, you know, 30 years, it's time, and that was it. So it wasn't that difficult, and, you know, to still be involved in the game is a good thing. I think if I had retired and wasn't involved in the game, it would have been a lot more difficult.
How long after you retired did you take the job with Chiefswood?
A month.
Wow.
Yeah, I spoke with the Crembles, you know, and I had a lot of success with them, and, you know, they just kind of hired me on as a consultant at first, just to try and, you know, oversee their operation and see it, you know, see what's working and what's not. And then, we went to the sale. We went to the Keeneland sale and bought a few horses. And like I say, the rest is history. I mean, I just love working for them. They're great people. They treat me fantastic, and, you know, they deserve to do good. They've invested a lot of money, and, you know, and it's a passion for them.
And what did you learn, I mean, from changing that perspective so much, from being a jockey to the other side of it, where you're almost you're in the barn, not in the barn, but you see it from a totally different angle from an owner's side?
Yeah, no, definitely. I see the bills. but, obviously when you're a jockey, you know, pedigree didn't mean a whole lot to you. If they could run, you didn't care who they were by. But that's the first thing I look at. And, you know, obviously, I'm learning about pedigrees every day. It you know, you never stop learning about pedigrees and everything. So it's been a learning curve, but, you know, I try to be like a sponge and try to absorb as much as I can.
And you guys made a concerted effort to try to move some horses to America, try to have some dirt horses. And what's that been like in the process?
It's been well. Obviously, it's hit and miss. You know, we want to. I mean, this is the ultimate running in Saratoga, Keeneland. You know, we want to try and win a Triple Crown race or Breeders' Cup race. So I think you need to be here and you need to compete. You know, we're also trying to make stallions. We have one right now in Yorkton, and then Weyburn is his half brother. So we're hopeful that, you know, maybe we could win one or two of these big ones coming up and maybe stand him eventually. But, you know, it's definitely been an experience. And what we try and do is if the horses look like they fit here, we'll leave them. And if they look like they can't be competitive at the highest level here, then we'll ship them back to Woodbine where it's a little bit easier.
And do you watch a race like a jockey or a manager?
The first time I watch it like a jockey. And then when I watch the replay, I watch it like a manager.
Do you find you're more critical of jockeys because you rode or less?
I think I'm less. I mean, I've always handicapped the races where I handicap on how I think the race is going to unfold instead of who's the best horse. So I kind of look at the PPs and see how I think the race should unfold. But, you know, obviously I stay out of it. I sit back. If I really believe something strongly, I'll have a conversation with the trainer. But, you know, we pay these trainers to do a job. They're the coach, and you don't want to interfere too much with them because then, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, you know what happens.
And if you had advice for a young rider just getting started after your career, what you learned, what you did, what would you tell them?
You got to work hard. You got to really want it. You got to show people that you want it. I may not have been the best rider, but I had a really good work ethic. And, you know, you show up to work your horses and give everybody 100% in the afternoon, and I think it gets you a long way. And be loyal. You know, just don't – I always believed in just being loyal to your customers. And, you know, you can't always ride the best horse. I probably would have won another 300 or 400 races if I rode the best horse all the time, but – you know, I think loyalty goes a long way in this business.
And that's probably what helped get the job with Chiefswood afterwards, right? Those relationships and loyalty and gaining that respect, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you want to be honest. You want to treat people well and respect everybody, whether it's a hot walker or a groom. They all work hard, and they're a big part of the success of racehorses and trainers and exercise riders. They're a big part of it. And you know, I remember, you know, when I used to go to barns when I was riding, if I was waiting for the next set to go and I seen a groom that had two or three horses in a set, I'd jump in the stall and muck his stall for him. And I think that goes a long way. The grooms, if you're riding for them, the grooms work a lot harder and they help, you know. They say to their trainer, well, why not give this guy a shot? You know, I mean, all those things help.
Yeah, and that goes for anything you do in life, right? You got to work hard and be dedicated, loyalty, all that stuff.
Exactly, 100%.
The Fanticipate question of the day, who is your fan? Who was your biggest fan when you were riding races?
I'd have to say my wife, Samantha. I mean, she was a very good supporter. As you know, it's a very difficult thing to do. You know, our sport is very dangerous when you're a rider, and, you know, it's hard for people to watch those things day in and day out, and, you know, especially when they've seen you had a few bad falls and stuff. But she's been a really good supporter. And then I had another, Sue Leslie, who her and her husband had given me a break when, you know, I struggled the first 10 years of my career. They had given me a break, so I think they were pretty big fans as well.
Yeah, without them, would you have made it?
Well, it would have been a lot more difficult.
You'd have made it. I know you would have made it, but maybe not as far, or maybe wouldn't have been as rewarding, I guess.
Exactly. You got to be in the right place at the right time in this business. And you know, I've seen a lot of really, really, really talented riders not make it. And then I just think, you know, I would have kept grinding, and, you know, might not have had as much success as I had, but I'm sure I would have had some.
Yeah, look, I've retired. I had head injuries, and I retired on my own terms, and I think that was very important to feel like I didn't have anything left, and I got to get out. I mean, I won my last race. It was so rewarding to, like, just do it on my own terms. I think that's so important.
No, 100%. You know, it's hard. I mean, obviously, I didn't take that decision lightly, but it was time. And, you know, again, unlike you, I had a lot of head trauma. And usually when a horse falls, the first thing you land on is your head or your shoulder. And, you know, you how many times can you do it? And how many times are you going to push the envelope? You know, and again, I was lucky enough to fall into this job, and it's been really, really rewarding for me.
Yeah, I knew I was in trouble when I'd hit the ground. I'd be rolling around the ground going, I haven't hit my head yet. I haven't hit my head yet. I haven't hit my head yet.
Exactly. And the more you fall off, the more it seems like everything is in slow motion. Yeah, yeah. You've done it so many times. You see everything. You see the horse's legs just missing you. And like I say, I mean, you the funny thing is, you think about all the good things that has happened in your career, and you kind of forget about those things. So, like I say, I've been very, very fortunate.
That's Robert Landry, two-time Sovereign Award winner, racing manager for Chiefswood, and a great ambassador to our sport.